to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So, welcome, or welcome back to the Chapel of the Transfiguration. It's wonderful to be back out here in the park. This is an incredibly special place to me personally, and I know it is to many of you. This Sunday we have these incredible readings which are given to us by the church from the lectionary for Trinity Sunday, or the Sunday that comes right after the Feast of Pentecost. And these readings that we have are about perspective taking. They're meant to encourage us as people of faith to have a wider view of the world. The gospel brings us this great exchange between Jesus and Nicodemus. And if we were to look, one of the extraordinary things about John's gospel is that it fires right out of the starting gates. It's this beautiful story that by the third chapter of John's gospel has Jesus tossing the temple, you know, throwing a temper tantrum and tossing the temple. And then there are these series of big symbolic encounters that Jesus has with different people along the way, whether they're the so-called rich young ruler or this encounter that he has with Nicodemus. And these exchanges, these encounters are charged. They're charged with a bit of tension and with a whole lot of meaning. So this morning we get this back and forth with Jesus and Nicodemus, and there's a bit of humor in it. Nicodemus, if you were to go to the biblical commentaries and open up those big, dusty, fancy books and read what the commentators say about Nicodemus, they would tell you that Nicodemus is a student of the law. He's a Pharisee. He's a young leader. He's preparing for bigger leadership. We see Nicodemus twice in the Gospel of John. The first time we see Nicodemus is this encounter that we have this morning. The second time we see him with Joseph of Arimathea looking for the tomb to bury the body of Jesus. So he's an important figure who bookends the beginning of Jesus' ministry and the end of Jesus' ministry. And if you were to read what the commentators have to say about him, you would read that he's a student of the law, that he's a lawyer, he's preparing to take his place at the table of council of Pharisees. But what we should know about that particular field of study in that day and age is, for us, it would be more like Nicodemus is a seminarian. Nicodemus is studying theology and law, because at the time, the study of law was the practical application of theology in his day and age for people. So instead of thinking of Nicodemus as a lawyer, we might think of him as a seminarian or a young priest or someone who's studying to be a pastor. And there's this, the exchange is a bit humorous, even if we read the story in somewhat of a solemn way in a place like this. It says, so Nicodemus goes to Jesus by night. Nicodemus he's wowed by what Jesus is doing. He's impressed by these bold acts and these liberating sermons that Jesus is preaching and teaching around the country. But he's also aware that Jesus is somewhat of a controversial figure in Israel. So he's cautious. Nicodemus is prudent. He wants to interact with Jesus, but he goes by night so none of his friends will see him making this consultation. Now, this is not lost on Jesus, right? So Jesus gets that, you know, here's this young guy. He's credentialed. He's already a leader. He's in formation for training, and he comes and he engages Jesus at night. And so Jesus is a little obtuse with him, and he's purposefully obtuse. He's trying to get Nicodemus to have a wider view of the world, to have a wider view of God, to have a wider view of life and faith, what I like to call the God-love life. So Nicodemus asked him, well, Jesus, how do you come about this work? Where do you find, you know, your place in this articulation of the faith? Like, help me out here. And Jesus says, well, you know, you can't really know about any of this stuff unless you're born from above. Nicodemus is like, what? Born from above? Like, can a person really enter the mother's womb a second time? And Jesus is like, you know, unless you're born of water and spirit, then you're really not going to get this stuff. And Nicodemus is like, water and spirit? And then Jesus goes on to have this kind of deeper teaching where he begins to reference one of those wild stories where God is inviting Israel to see their particular situation a little bit differently. So he references this kind of crazy story. And maybe you remember it or maybe you don't, but it's in Numbers, and Israel's been liberated from Egypt. They've come out, they're wandering the desert, which really isn't like moving around day to day, right? It's 40 years. So they're moving toward the Holy Land. And when they get close, they see that the Holy Land is occupied by these Canaanites. And so they're full of vigor and faith. And they say, Lord, you know, we see that land that you've asked us to occupy, but it's full of some really strong people, and we're a little bit hesitant to go. I'm paraphrasing the scripture. We're a little bit hesitant to go, but, you know, if you thought it was a good idea, we'd go down and see if we could defeat those people and occupy that land. And God says, I think it's a good idea. Go ahead. So they move down, they defeat these people, they occupy the land, and like 5 seconds later, they're like, woe is us. You know, this is maybe not the greatest place to be. We thought it was great. And so God, in God's wisdom, in these wonderful stories that we have from the Old Testament, sends, this is in this book, I'm not making this up, sends a plague of snakes, of venomous snakes. And so venomous snakes scurry out through the land. They bite people. When they bite people, they die. So Moses goes back to God. God, what is going on? Like, what? He says, look, pick up one of these snakes. It'll turn to bronze. Hold the bronze snake up. And whoever has the faith to look at the bronze snake, if they are bitten by the snake, they will not die. And so those people who look at the snake, those become the surviving Israelites that we know today. It's another story about perspective taking. Not just down here. Don't just look down here. Look up there too. Jesus is asking Nicodemus to have a wider view of what faith looks like, what really living looks like. Those of us who have the deep privilege of living in a place like this know the practice of perspective taking, of challenging ourselves to see things that are different or bold or things that might challenge our presumptions that we have about life or living. And you know, it's frequently seen right out here of this window. I mean, it just draws you, right? You're there. I can remember having a conversation late last summer or early fall with Brian Nystrom, our associate priest at St. John's. And I'd been here about a year and a half at that time, had lived here about a year and a half, and Brian and I were driving back to Jackson from the park. And it was at the end of the day, and for those of you who have lived here or you've been here for a lot of times, you notice at the end of the day in the summertime, the light infiltrates the canyons along the Tetons. And I said, Brian, you know, I think when I was a tourist here, I just looked at the tops of the mountains, you know, as I would drive by, and I would think, oh, that's a beautiful mountain, or oh, I'd like to climb that mountain someday. I think, you know, I'd like, oh, I've been on top of that one. Oh, I need to get on top of that one. But the longer I live here, the more my eyes and my heart are drawn to the cracks, you know, where I'm able to see where light is penetrating, and my perspective has changed. These mountains are even more accessible, not just by foot, but even more accessible here. These stories that the church gives us for Trinity Sunday are meant to bring us a different perspective through these stories, whether it's that Isaiah reading or the Psalm or the reading that we have from the New Testament epistle. You hear God inviting us, almost begging us, Jesus sort of teasing us to have a wider view, to open our hearts and to see things in a different way, to see love in the world around us. That last line, or the second to last line that we have in John's gospel illustrates that. So we have this exchange from Nicodemus, and the story changes a bit. It's almost as if Nicodemus drifts off into the background and Jesus is teaching all of Israel, and then the early followers of Jesus, and then those of us who come to this place. And he has that wonderful line that's so familiar to us. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his son, inviting us to see love in the world. I mean, that becomes the calling that's placed on our life in a day like today. Can you see it? And it's pretty easy to see it out here, isn't it? Yeah, it's like you can see love in action right there. Incredible power and sensitivity in creation. But it's more than that. We're asked to do more than that. You know, can we see love in the person next to us? Can we see how love is manifested in the life of the human being, the creature of God who is sitting next to you? And maybe, most importantly, can you see love in the mirror? When you look in the mirror, do you see how you have been made with love? Can you see that it is in you and of you, and that it is our calling, our work in the world, is to share that love with other people? That's all I've got for you this morning. Incredibly beautiful place that we're sitting in. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please stand as we recite the Nicene Creed together. We believe in one God,
the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate of the Virgin Mary and was made a man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
Prayers for the people. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Bless all those who visit the Chapel of the Transfiguration, that the time spent in this sacred place will help them in their spiritual journeys. God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit, especially those that we down name. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, especially those we now name. That your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. God, in your goodness,
hear our prayer.
God of love and mercy, receive our thanks this day for the men and women who have given their lives in the service to our country. Help us to honor them in our work for peace through justice, that people across the globe may live abundant lives, freed from the threat of war and violence.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people. In the multitude of your mercies, look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us,
that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you. It's so great to be back. I just love it.
Peace, Judith.
Thank you for a wonderful sermon.
Thank you.
Even the second time.
Maestro.
Peace.
That's right.
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Chapel of Transfiguration. Just a couple of announcements for you this morning before we move from that liturgy of the word to the liturgy of the table. As many of you know, those of you who are locals, we have visiting chaplains who come out to the chapel June, July, August, and September. Next week, we have the Reverend Mary Erickson coming from our own church, St. John's, in town. And then the following week, we welcome Bert Betts. Bert is the rector of St. Peter's Episcopal Church in Kerrville, Texas. Bert and his wife and their two children will be with us for those 3 weeks in June. And one of the things that we love to do to welcome the chaplains to town is to make sure that they have a home-cooked meal in their fridge once a week while they're here. So if you are good in the kitchen and you can make a home-cooked meal and you have the time to do that, it would be great if you would call Liz and let her know. We'll schedule a time. You just bring that meal to the church office and we'll deliver it to the refrigerator at the condo where the chaplains stay. So just so they don't have to be interrupted if they're going to be out and about and in the park, and your day doesn't have to be interrupted too. But we'd be grateful for that. So if you have the time and the desire and the ability to provide a good meal for those chaplains, would love it if you would call Liz at the church office. Next Thursday, the women's lunch will be held in the Donnan Meeting Room at church at noon. So that's in St. John's House, on the lower floor at noon. Bring a picnic lunch, and there will be a group of women who would love to get together with you and enjoy a time of table fellowship and connection there at St. John's House. And then finally, for those of you who have been around for the last couple of years, you know that we like to have a theme for every season. And on June 10th, we will announce our summer theme. That'll happen at St. John's Chapel at 8 a.m., at St. John's Church at 10 a.m., here at the Chapel of the Transfiguration at 8 a.m. and 10 a.m., and at St. Hubert's down in Bondurant at 11 a.m. So this is something that you don't want to miss if you're around here. You even get a little present, a little surprise. Can't tell you what it is because it's a secret, but it'll be a token so that together we might focus on a particular spiritual discipline during this summer season. So would love to have as many people as we can in church on June 10th so that we run out of our little tokens of spiritual focus for the summer season. Finally, because we live in this incredibly beautiful place and we steward this amazing chapel, every Sunday we have people who visit us from different places. And when we do, we invite you to just stand up and tell us your name and where you're from. We don't do that to embarrass you, but so that we can give you a warm welcome. Anybody visiting the Tetons from out of town this morning?
Hey, Dave and
Lynn Crane.
And we're from Sacramento, California. We belong to Trinity Cathedral.
Welcome. Really glad to have you with us this morning.
Pat Seifert and my friend Debbie Green. We're from Panama City, Florida.
Welcome. Happy to have you.
Bill Staten. I'm from Seattle, Washington.
Hey, Bill. Glad to have you.
Leslie Staten with Steve Whiting, Ann Arbor, Michigan. Members of. Oh, I am. You're not. You're
from. We're in communion.
St. Andrew's Episcopal.
Glad to have you, whether you're in communion or just here. Hey.
I'm Ron Morgan, my sister Beth Ann, and we're visiting from Pasadena, California.
Wonderful. Welcome. Really glad to have you.
Ben Kister, my wife Debbie, and we're pretty close, Riverton, Wyoming.
Oh, great.
25 years ago this weekend, I prayed for my husband, and he's standing with me for 24 years while we're married this weekend.
Nice. Congratulations.
My name is Adam Walker. This is my daughter, Sarah. We are from Shreveport, Louisiana.
Welcome. Really happy to have you. A little trivia. My mom grew up in Shreveport.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So we got a little Louisiana there. That's right.
We're the Amon family, and we're from Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Oh, that's nice. Yay. Nice to have some other Wyomings in church this morning. Welcome. Really happy to have you here. If there's anything that we can do to make your stay more comfortable, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. If you're spending the day in the park and you have questions, there are plenty of local people here who can probably give you some good intel. Ascribe to the Lord the honor due his name. Bring offerings and come into his courts.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our God thanks and praise.
We thank you, Creator God, that we live in a place where the glorious revelation of you is all around us. The prairie bursts with song from wind and birds and waving grasses. The abundance of animals roaming freely reminds us of our own freedom and the many ways you provide sustenance in your kingdom. From the depths of the ocean floor, you lifted your massive mountains and pointed them toward the heavens. We, like your Son, our Lord, are called to these high places to get away and rest in communion with you. We marvel as we wander through stately pines and twirling aspens along the creeks where trout dance on their tails above the rocks and deer and elk sip from the water's edge. And we remember that you have given us the living water to quench our thirst. Our spirit is refreshed and our strength renewed. We welcome the passing seasons and broad circles of time with anticipation of new things to come. And we recognize that same feeling of hope that encircles our faith. Our lives are lived between sunrises and sunsets in brilliant colors. But at night, the limitless stars have a way of pushing back the boundaries of our lives. And we dream of heaven and your wonder. And with all these blessings of your creation around us, O God, we come together in communities on the prairie, by rivers and streams, on mountaintops and in their shadows in the valley, to receive your word which has been sown in rich soil and grown into a fruitful crop in the body of Christ. And so we join with saints and angels in proclaiming your glory as we say,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
As we gather to praise your name, we see your greatest glory, your Son, our Savior, reflected in each other's faces. And we know the magnitude of your love for us and ours for you. On the night before he died for us, Jesus was at table with his friends. He took bread, gave thanks to you, broke it, and gave it to them and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, Jesus took the cup of wine. Again, he gave thanks to you, gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Now gathered at your table, O God of all creation, and remembering Christ, crucified and risen, who was and is to come, we offer to you our gifts of bread and wine, and ourselves a living sacrifice. Pour out your Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the body and blood of Christ. Breathe your Spirit over the whole earth, and make us your new creation, the body of Christ, given for the world you have made. In the fullness of time, bring us with all your saints from every tribe and language and people and nation to feast at the banquet prepared from the foundation of the world. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, to you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say,
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine
is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
We who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread.
The gifts of God for the people of God. Thank you. Let us pray. Most loving God, Creator and Redeemer, we give thanks for this foretaste of your glory. Through Christ and with all your saints, we offer ourselves and our lives to your service. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to stand with you in your world. We ask this through Jesus Christ, the servant, our friend and brother. Amen. May our hearts feel the song of the meadowlark, our minds the clearness of the mountain air, and our souls the freedom of the soaring eagle. May our faith be renewed as the creek in spring. May we celebrate the saving redemption of the cross in all its mysteries. May we always feel the love of the community of Christ. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn 460, hymn 460, verses 1, 2, and 5. Hymn 460, verses 1, 2, and 5.